Right, part three. I'm still interviewing Spank for New Comedy Radio with Sabrina George. Sorry, we just talked. Leon, tell the story because it's not fair. We just started laughing as I started.
I'm sure it was funny.
The dog and the giraffe head.
Mr. Giraffe head.
Mr. Dog
head. And Mr.
Dog. You made a New Year's resolution that James wouldn't smoke, you wouldn't get naked.
James wouldn't smoke, yeah, I wouldn't get naked. So we do this thing, it's a brilliant comedy genius, really, where we bought all these plastic animal heads from a that you can wear as masks from a joke shop. James got saw mine that was a giraffe, and they got really into it and bought all of them.
I did, but there was a chicken, wasn't there, and a cat, and an elephant.
Dog. And Mr. Giraffe Head tends to come on. James will just disappear. It's a bit like sort of Superman Clark Kent type gag. James will disappear and then come on as Mr. Giraffe Head and start dancing to a particular Tom Jones number.
Venus.
Venus. and I'll get annoyed and try to get off, and then he'll come back, and then the music will start and stop and start. So it's absolute comedy genius. For some reason, people enjoy it. Again, it's another thing that we have no idea why they like it. We just do it. We got stoned one night. It's funny. One night on the last time we did it was the last New Year's. Got the audience to give us New Year's resolutions. And James had quit smoking, so they gave him the New Year's resolution to stop smoking, never to smoke again. And for me, bizarrely enough, they all said that I should not get naked anymore on stage. So James went off, did Mr. Giraffe. Oh, we had a £20 bet between us that who would break this first. So James came back on as Mr. Giraffe, and Venus started playing. I got annoyed, stormed off, and I often come back on as the dog. It was very aggressive, chases him off. Came back on as the dog completely naked, apart from the dog mask, which apparently was quite freaky for a lot of people. He got annoyed. I took the dog head off, didn't understand why. It's because I'd broken obviously the bet, pulled £20 out of my arse, gave it to you, at which point you started smoking. Not the £20, though.
No.
That was utter comedy gold, though.
It was bizarre, isn't it? It's just but they go with that. They like that. It's like the other one where we found this sort of like an alien mask. And decided to put on this grass skirt, which has got sort of some Hawaiian music, and we had E.T.T. our special alien hula dancer. which again was just utterly random, but that's what, you know, we sort of, it's trying to do without laughing ourselves, especially when there is just silence. Yeah, that's just funny.
So when you start out an evening, like start the show at the beginning of the evening, and you've got 2/3 of the audience have never seen you before.
Yeah.
Like those who've seen you, they know what to expect. Because if I explain to people what you do, they go, "Fuck, I'm not going to spend 50p on that." But somehow,
don't explain it to them.
No, but somehow 2/3 of the audience has managed to convert, have been conveyed to them that it's something worth coming to see, and they come and see you two shambling on, wittering, with assorted items that make no sense. I mean, I don't want to use the word Monty Python-esque, but it doesn't actually make sense in translation. You have to be there. How do you break that audience in the beginning of the evening? What's going through your heads when you're thinking about, like, how do we get these people to, or don't you?
I don't think there is a sort of, it's not like a deliberate plan. And as things most happen, you know, you tend to witter and I just get a bit miffed. That's sort of how
my favourite is James's yawning. The head back yawning. Again, you have to be there.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Sometimes I end up somewhere.
It is. It's a long quest for a punchline, isn't it?
Yeah.
The thing is, I think once the acts start to come on and they start to see how that, you know, it's, often that first bit can be. It depends. If there's a lot of people in there who have been before, they buy into it quite. Last one you were there, I think there was quite a few people who hadn't been there before, and it takes a while for them to sort of figure out what's going on.
They don't go, "Oh no, we've lost a fortune, or we've lost our Friday night, spend the money."
They might.
I think it's important that
But we like to think, well, we're here now. Yeah. Just stick it out.
But I think there is an element of a kind of shock when we start. But I think it's important that we start like that. And people just walk to it eventually when they realise that there are good acts on. They see the first act goes down well. They start to trust you when you start to. We obviously show our enjoyment of the acts as well, so we come along and we'll have fun with the acts. We're in the audience as well. They can see us in the audience. They can see us enjoying the show as well. And I think that creates an element of these two guys from the audience are just comparing the show, which means they're just coming on, introducing the next act, and then getting off. I mean, we often get shouts of, you're not funny.
No.
But that doesn't bother us for some reason. We're just saying, we're not supposed to be watching.
So I think we have enough self-knowledge to know that ourselves, really.
Yeah, that's something we don't know.
Yeah. That's good. I think my favourite heckle in Edinburgh this year was, you're the fat ant and deck. And then for the rest of the show, we were just eating crisps and sweets. Just as we were.
And now it's stuck in everything called fat ant and deck. It's kind of nice because ant and deck are really young. If we're just fat ant and deck, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And rich.
Yeah, they're rich as well. Yeah.
Very rich, yeah. And what about lovely Josie Long, who's I'm another huge fan of, who you had almost as a permanent fixture? How did that happen? You had some acts that you just let do. I mean, sometimes she was only doing a minute, and then she'd come back and do another minute. She seemed to be very part of.
Are you thinking of the book club?
Is it the book club?
She does mostly,
right, but she was doing stuff with you as well.
I don't know. She's done one or two, I think, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, really?
No,
got that horribly wrong.
Yeah, well, that's.
So, yeah, we'd love her to. She's great.
Mistaking us for another. That's a spin-off.
Because some of the acts you do let come back a second or third time in the same night.
Yeah.
Like the fabulous Johan, who I want to marry, is gorgeous. He was on. I missed the first section, so I don't know whether he was on more than twice, but he came on
twice.
His separate characters.
But that's the other beautiful thing about our acts. We have so many different acts on. A lot of the sketch acts and sort of character never like to come back again, but having a break in between to get changed or change it up. I like that.
Yeah, I do like that.
And the audience knows them from the first time round, so they're just as pleased to see them back again.
Or if they haven't liked them the first time round, often it takes two sets for them the audience really to get into them. And then they sort of understand the second time. Some of the acts can be a bit shocking to a cold audience, as you said. For instance, used to seeing stand up, comes up, they've got some character doing something. And
completely random.
They're expected to see it. It can sometimes take the second time of them coming on before they've relaxed enough to appreciate it.
Yeah. No, it's good. And also, a lot of the character sketch acts can come on with us and do stuff and have done.
And ruin the gig.
Save the gig, probably.
We do have a lot of people who are famous that come back time again and love to do it. And we'll sort of usually not have them back consecutive fakes, but like you said, Steve Hughes, people like that will have them back once every 3 months or 2 months. Matt Kirsch is another one.
And David, who does your hand up for it.
Justin Evans as well, awesome comedian. Anytime he wants to come down and do it as well. There are some people who. The Spank audience also have their favourites as well, because they've got quite a loyal following, and so they come month after month after month after month, and they've got their favourites who they don't need to be doing anything new, they're just glad to see them on stage, doing the same kind of stuff, so that's fun.
Yeah.
And do you get a lot of press, promotion people, promoters, agents coming down, scouting?
No.
There's no future career once you've done well at Spank.
We get a lot of scouting for acts.
Yes.
You do.
A lot of TV people. Most people don't know about them. People come and say, who was in the audience tonight? You've got a lot of researchers from Brucey come down, a lot of people involved in business come down.
But one of the things we wanted to set up initially was the fact that the night had this feel of the last day of school.
Absolutely.
It's not a night set up for industry. We didn't want, this. It was a night that wasn't driven by that. So so that, you know, the acts don't have to think, you know, oh, I've got to impress someone. You know, that it's a night off in a way. You know, it's do it how you want to do it, right, rather than how you think it should be done.
There's no industry comps at all. Nobody gets comps from the producer or the scout or whatever. They want to come, they pay their money, so if they want us and we don't know about it, they just come in as well.
Because it does have that feel, again, it doesn't feel like there's any pressure on anybody to be successful. It's just for people, even if they just stand on stage and giggle, that's fine by you.
Well, that's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
And do you have any industry by any chance picking you two up saying we want to turn you into the fatter version of Anton Deck?
No, that doesn't tend to happen. I mean, not from Spank.
Yeah, it sounds like we'd be perfect material for TV.
No, I mean separately through, you know, our proper comedy stuff. Yes, you know, but not through Spank. But then Spank for us also was a, you know, a step away from that. So, but we've never courted it either. So, you know, we don't know if that would work. You know,
we've had bits and pieces of interest from people to do stuff. And I think
the problem is then they come and they say, you know, oh, this is, and we thought Spank could be there, and then you could do this, that, and the other, and you're kind of thinking, well, each one of those ideas they have kind of takes away the
generic
quality.
They do Spank it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what makes it Spank is the fact that, and the problem is, you know, with that, I think most people are just terrified to touch, you know, TV, to touch anything like Spank, because you can't have something that loose on television, you know.
Well, we had sponsors for 4 months, and they got terrified. We had to drop them because they just couldn't handle the loose nature of the night and the fact that you absolutely can't control it. And as soon as you try and control it, it stops. It's unique about it.
Yeah.
So are the rest, are both of you individually doing a lot of stand-up, or are you mainly doing your hen and chickens? And
well, no, it's sketch comedy. We don't do stand-up.
Which you've just been in New York doing?
Yes, yeah. Greedy is going quite well. We've been speaking to Tiger Aspect about that, and so hopefully something will come with that. But yeah, we've done the last two Edinburghs with Greedy. We do it about once a month at the Hen and Chickens to keep, you know, some new material.
And are you still doing this Hen and Chickens?
Yeah,
running it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's fairly full on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. And what about you, Leon?
Well, still do a bit of Pineapple Boys, John Pineapple Boys stuff, although we did that for 5 years in Edinburgh, and now the enormous amount of crushing debts that I have from there makes me do more jobs as well. But we are working on a thing with Anil Desai, who does Rajesh character, which is an Indian Bollywood lounge guy, and we do a lot of that.
The miniature Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, he does stand-up as well, yeah.
He's fantastic.
Tiny Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
He's very good. He's starting to develop the stand-up side of it as well. That's just started to resurface. You saw his second gig back this year. He hasn't got stand-up for a year. You saw the second one.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. That's yeah. Cool. There's lots of bits and pieces of thoughts. Do corporate nights as well.
Doing yourself, you're not taking the Spank
together, it's not
shape.
It's not Spank, but just using the context and putting together nights. That's what's just started doing some of that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that has come of it in a way, is people sort of ask you to organise nights for them, because I think they see Spank and they want that sort of evening, you know, so you try and put that together.
Because for me, the other thing which is kind of nice about Spank is that you tend to have I wouldn't say intelligent audience, but it tends to be an audience that's really there to have fun with the comedy rather than fun at the comedy.
Yes, definitely.
You know, that thing where the audience comes to clubs and you just think, oh God, what's the lowest common denominator I can appeal to, because they're so away with the fairies, and maybe Jade Goody is in the audience. It's that sort of element of intelligence. Whereas this Spank audience, you know, I keep meeting advertising people in lawyers, solicitors, you know, middle class, you know, people who are there to have a night as part of the party. Maybe because they're very lonely, I don't know, maybe because they've got lots of friends, but it is a much more up for it.
But,
join in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's intense.
The acts think it's more intelligent audience, so they tend to do more intelligent material, and as a response, the audience responds to that. If people come down, they haven't enjoyed it, because they're not stand-up about, babies or whatever, they're not going to stand-up about it, then they don't come back again, and the people just sort of sift.
Yes,
down,
yeah.
More intelligent crowd, just because it's a contract between the comedians and the audience. The comedians like to be more intelligent. A lot of the sketch acts and character acts are generally more intelligent than the base stand-ups because they're not working those clubs. But Jane Goodall, the audience.
Does she go to a lot of these clubs?
Apparently so, yeah. She's
she certainly provides lots of material for the stand-ups.
Well, yeah, that's a bit too easy.
Yeah, I don't think we even referenced it once, did we, on Friday? I was quite pleased about that.
So where are you hoping Spike to go?
International trade agreements.
Where are you hoping to take Spank then? Where, how would you like it to grow, or don't you?
Well,
think
we've
that
been
far?
Speaking to try and get to do a couple over in New York. We've been speaking to Cal, Afghanistan. Yes, about doing some stuff over there. It's trying to sort of organise. Also, what we'd like to do is take quite a few of the, you know, people like David doing Johann Lipovitz, but you know, quite a lot of what Spank is over here, over there, especially initially, you know, to get the ball rolling so they can see what it is. Because I think it's quite hard to bring an actor who've never seen Spank to know what Spank, and you know, an audience that hasn't. I think we'd have to kind of do an English Spank in a way to sort of, you know, sort of show that off. So we're wanting to do that. It's just seeing, you know, how that can pan out. But we're optimistic that might happen. And I think Edinburgh's happening again this year.
Edinburgh, and I think it'd be nice to be able to do it at more festivals as well.
I was going to say, have you looked into doing other festivals?
We started last year to talk about Melbourne and Montreal and things like that. But they're all a little bit. You really need somebody. We need a producer really to come in and go. They want to do it because it's such a huge amount of work. And you're entering into an area where you don't.
You need a full time admin person. Yeah.
Well, I think you just need to know what will work and what won't work. And at the moment, we just put on stage what we like. And I think we may have to adapt slightly to each different environment. If you end up in the wrong space, that's nowhere near where anybody's going to. If it's not cool, it's not the place we want to hang out. You'll end up with five people in the audience, and it doesn't work with five people in the audience. You know, so it's we talk to people about that. But I think the main thing about Spank is it's always been organic and it just will grow the way it grows. It's been bigger than us most of the time. We just sort of let it flow where it's going to go and see what happens. And when, like the offer of Edinburgh came up, we did it. The offer of, you know, we'll let it go where it wants to go. And it's kind of, it seems to have a mind of its own.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's sort of. And I think, you know, trying to sanitize it, or, you know, which...
Bottle it, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to do, I think, because, you know, also, you know, there has to be that arena for people to do badly, and Spank is that as well, you know, it's sort of, that's as important. It's better to try and something new and, you know, and have a stab and fall flat on your face, but, you know, we wanted to have a club where that's completely acceptable. You know, and
well, it really is. You're not. It's not tokenism. You really do make it acceptable. Yeah.
Yeah. So and it's cool. Crap. We try not to do them afterwards and say they're rubbish, which I seem to do every time.
Yeah. It's a terrible case of foot and mouth. It's sort of
really badly worded.
It's sort of like, yeah.
But no, I think people feel safe.
Well, that's brilliant. That's brilliant, guys. Thank you very much for that. And that's the end of part three.